Welcome to Crash Concepts, where the economy, energy, and the environment are explored. Up next, fresh ideas and insights into the factors that are driving the world and shaping your future. Presenting information you can't afford to live without, here's Chris Martinson.
Welcome, everybody, to this Peak Prosperity Podcast. Let me see. This must be Sunday, and it is February 26th. I'm sitting here with Becca Martinson, a.k.a. the person I am married to. Hi, Becca.
Hello, Chris.
And you just came back from an exciting weekend. We'll hear about that. The purpose of this podcast is to both do a little state of the world update, and that's kind of a lead-in to talking as well about the Roe conference that's coming up in April and why we hold it. You know, let me start here. The Roe conference is wonderful. I would not think of not doing it, and it takes an enormous amount of effort to hold space for 4 days and be really in charge of making sure everybody's having as best an experience as we know how to deliver. We take that very seriously. But here's the question. Why would we take that time to do that and to put our time into that conference? And the reason is because it is worth it. It's worth it. And what's worth it is not that we put on this super great thing. We do. We take it seriously, and we'll do our very best job to hold up our end of the bargain, which is to bring our full selves, give a great seminar. But the magic is in watching what happens when people get together and they can actually talk about what's really happening in the world. Because you all know this. If you're listening to this, you have this experience of thinking thoughts that you don't feel you can talk about with the people around you, right? And this has only become extreme this year, where there are people who were reporting on our website as recently as this morning that they have friends who, because of political developments, that they can they've had to carve out one other giant area of can't go there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Can't talk about this stuff anymore, right? Because
That's right. It'll
just get extreme. So
Yeah, and the feeling of freedom that we've seen people experience time and time and again at Roe,
mm-hmm.
The freedom to express, the freedom to say exactly what's on their mind with a room full of people that are not going to think they're crazy.
Right.
They're not going to belittle. Like there's no shaming going on here. There's no, you conspiracy nut, you. How could you possibly consider something like social unrest? Why
don't you take my hope away?
Oh, come on, be optimistic.
Yeah.
So to be able to be in a room of people where you can just relax and speak your truth is one of the biggest gifts I think that the workshop really offers. And I've heard that as feedback, honestly, from the very beginning.
Yeah. So before we go to all the wonderful benefits of Roe and what we are going to be doing there, as well as maybe some of the things that happened last year, let me. So I just came back from another wealth conference, and it was down in New Orleans during Mardi Gras, because that was a scheduling.
Good idea.
Not on accident. That's not accident. That's what they do on purpose. And I felt a little disconnected, strangely out of place with all, just straight up, I don't have time and room in my life for becoming numb and immersing into the numbness that the other revelers were. And I don't want to be this proverbial stick in the mud, but I feel a sense of urgency now, mm-hmm, Becca, that mm-hmm. doesn't allow me, like I would have felt, like I went out, saw everything, saw a float go by, it's like, boop, gathered everything I can from this, and I went back to my room and I continued writing and developing more content and thinking through how I can reach more people this year, because this is the year.
Yeah.
Or next year, but somewhere in here, these bubbles are gonna pop.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's gonna be for most of those unconscious people who didn't want to see this coming, who couldn't look at it, who weren't able to face it. For whatever reason, they weren't aware of what's happening. They were buying into the cultural meme that everything is awesome.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big Trump rally, stocks at all-time highs. That means things must be okay.
Yeah.
They're going to be blindsided, and it's going to really hurt. So when these bubbles burst, here's the best I can imagine. This is like 2008, but worse, because we don't have some of the capital we had in 2008, which was the central banks had enough capital to bail out all their buddies and the big banks who were in danger of collapsing, and somehow they were able to get away with that. Trust me, they can't get away with that this time.
Why? Why do you think so? Can I just ask you?
Yeah,
that?
Because, you know, Marine Le Pen is dangerously close to winning the presidency outright. According, she's ahead in every single poll. And because Trump won, and because they're trying to suppress this and pretend it was like, oh, it was the Kremlin. The Kremlin now controls American politics.
Right.
That passes for legitimate thinking in some circles these days. But if you still said, well, wait a minute, I believe in a deep state in the United States, it'd be like, oh, that's nuts.
Right.
Like, can you feel the tension in those two belief systems holding those two? The Kremlin's controlling everything. You know what's crazy is if you look at a pie chart of the world, and this whole pie chart is the world economy, NATO is half this pie.
Uh-huh.
And Russia's 6%. It's this little wedge off to the side. And you have to circle that wedge and point at it and go, oh my God, they're going to take us over. Right? That's the statement.
You made a statement that you didn't think that we would be able to bail out the banks.
No, because the political capital isn't there right now. Greece is just going to go just catch on fire and burn up. And Merkel is dangerously close to losing outright in this next election, which is coming up soon. She's way behind in the polls.
Wow.
And who's ahead? These are all people saying the same thing, which is you can't give to just the 0.1% anymore.
Yes.
And that's what a bailout to the big banks is. And by the way, what did they learn in all their recent crises? Nothing.
Yeah.
They have the same stupid shit on their books. They have the same dumb mistakes they've been making because they know they're going to get bailed out. And they'll try, but this time it comes with consequences. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they'll be able to really bail out. Plus, it's bigger than they are this time. It's really, really, really extreme.
It's building. We can feel it.
Yeah, and everybody can feel it. And that's just even on the economic side. But on the other side, you know, we have to look at the geopolitical tensions. Mm-hmm. It's, again, surprisingly not in the news, but the United States has warships around the South China Sea islands, and China is saying very dire things like, get the heck out of here.
Right, back off.
Or this will go military and get hot. And they've been, you know, jets have been encountering and doing flyby. It's really a lot hotter. Meanwhile, we're just all Kremlin phobia over here.
Right.
Which, like, I've just got to, is this what people were like in the McCarthy area? Were there people like me looking at this going, this is so thin and shabby. Is this, how is this a thing? But here we are.
Can I just go back to what you were talking about when you're down in the Mardi Gras, which is, I don't want to be numb anymore, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to go out. I can't ignore this. I can't go out and drink and just forget all of us and ignore it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that is what's being asked of us culturally on a large scale. Numb and forget, numb and forget, numb and forget.
Asked is a polite term. I think it's being demanded of us.
Right. But what's it like, you know, again, I'm just going to loop back into Roe, like to be able to come into a container where you don't have to be numb, where you don't have to pretend to be numb, or you can just say what's on your mind.
Right. You could look across to the other person and say, what do you think about living in a town where there's 3 days of food in the grocery store?
Uh-huh.
And the other person will sit back thoughtfully and say, yeah, I've thought about that. And here's what I've done.
Right.
How different of an experience is that from somebody saying, oh my God, I have to react very badly to you. I don't know why, but I'm programmed.
That's right.
To react this way.
That's right.
And that's what I really experience in our culture is that there's a lot of programmed reactions.
Yes.
Where when I talk with somebody, they'll come up with a very strong belief, and I know it's a belief because it's emotional, and you scratch at it and they have no data under that.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing to support it. Not that there is, maybe there could be data,
mm-hmm.
but they don't have it. Doesn't matter. So
mm-hmm.
I'm feeling that polarization, that sense of entrenchment, that sense of people retreating almost lizard brainstem into their most defensive positions.
Oh yeah.
And putting up little bulwarks around them.
Yes.
And saying you shall not pass.
Yes.
Right? Those aren't conducive areas for really surfing and being limber during a big crisis.
Right.
Right. So I think one of the greatest features of getting people together at Roe is it's really these are sort of the super users of the website. They're able to both hear the message of unsustainability that we've got and then be able to do something about it
mm-hmm.
in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
But this is my belief, and I could be wrong. I've been wrong for a couple of years. But my belief is that they can't keep this stitched together
mm-hmm.
forever.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because underneath, none of it makes sense.
Right.
Even like there's just like the highest level. We're going to have infinite growth forever. If we could just get 5% growth. So I was at this wealth conference. It was in Washington, D.C. there was this guy, Brad, I think it was Bentley. Anyway, I might have that wrong. I'll remember it in a second, but Brad for sure. Really well coughed, you know, silver fox kind of 55 plus year old guy.
I remember you telling me about him.
Yeah, and he was the head of the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corps, and so he should be able to think long term. So mm-hmm. I asked him a question, which was around the chart of the IOUs in the United States, which is all the debts mm-hmm. plus all the liabilities that are unfunded. Mm-hmm. There's this chart put out by Ray Dalio's Bridgewater Associates, and it said, wow, we have 1,100% debt to GDP. So I relayed the chart to him mm-hmm. verbally, and I said, how yep. do we get out from that?
Right.
And he said, rapid growth.
Rapid growth, yeah. Did he really? Mm-hmm. Oh, that's hilarious.
So I said, that's interesting. You know, it tripled from the years 1990 to 2000. You know how we got into that? Rapid growth. Right? So
right.
it doesn't even make sense even like however you do it, right?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
only way that chart makes sense, and I'm surprised a man of his caliber wasn't able to come up with, is say, we have to begin to live below our means.
Yes. Yes.
That's it. We live beyond our means for a while.
That's right.
And
the
now we have to live.
Pendulum has to swing back.
Below our means for a while.
Uh-huh.
Right? It's like we've harvested 1 million tons of bluefin tuna out of the ocean, and we can't do that anymore because they're 95% gone. So guess what? You have to harvest many, many fewer tons out of the mm-hmm. ocean. You have to live below the means because you've overdone it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. So we've overdone it ecologically. We've overdone it economically. And we're going to discover in the next 2 years, maybe three at the outside, that we've overdone it on the energy side as well mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because we haven't invested. There's $1 trillion of missing investment from the big oil companies. That means that there are oil projects that have deferred, delayed, canceled, not happening. It will take years to ramp them back up. Mm-hmm. We're swimming in this idea of abundant energy simply because oil is cheaper than it used to be.
Right.
And everybody who's watching the data is just looking at it behind the scenes going, oh no, we have a supply problem at some point. And that supply problem either ends with war or very high prices. Those are the uh-huh. only two ways to limit demand.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Which way do you think our country would go?
Hard to choose, but here, you know, both of those are obviously very bad for a global, just-in-time, integrated economy. War, because it shuts trade down. High prices, because you take $200 trillion of debt worldwide and you throw $150 a barrel oil at mm-hmm. it, and it doesn't work.
It slows things right
it
down.
It just doesn't work. Flat
uh-huh.
out, doesn't
uh-huh.
work.
Uh-huh.
So that's
a rock and a hard place is what I'm hearing.
It totally is. Mm-hmm. And you got to believe there are people who are thinking this through.
Oh, sure.
Which, of course, you know, we detailed that article recently about the wealthy people out of Silicon Valley mm-hmm. who are preparing.
Bunkering up, so
bunkering
to speak.
Up, right? I could poke a hole or two in their plan if their plan is I've got a jet with a pilot who's going to get me to New Zealand when I decide the time is right. And there are two holes in their plan. One is shifting baselines. One, things will sort of be getting bad slow enough that they won't recognize it until it's time to get out,
uh-huh.
and then it's too late.
Uh-huh.
And the second is, there's a bunch of events where you could imagine, oh, I don't know, if it's war or if it's some other event or the grid goes down where the navigation systems don't work the same. So mm-hmm. to anybody rich listening, make sure your pilot is capable of celestial navigation, because New Zealand is actually a tiny little thing in the middle of a very big ocean. when you're trying to get there on a single tank of gas. You know, you don't have a lot of time to sort of like cruise around like, maybe I should have gone left at Orion. Damn it. You know?
This came out of that conversation you had with that group of SEAL team, right?
Yeah,
Where they, that was their level of expertise and training.
Some of them were SEAL, but there were Rangers and generals and all this and that. But it's a crew of military guys who provide protective services for mainly major corporations, but also wealthy people. They had come through the front door after reading the rich people preparing piece. And they were fascinated. And of course, they're from the military, so they don't have to spend any time.
You don't have to convince them?
Convincing them that sometimes stuff goes pear-shaped.
Right.
They're like, you know, they have the, if you have one, you have none philosophy, meaning that stuff breaks. So you never put one of anything in your pack mm-hmm. if it's vital.
Mm-hmm.
You always have two or more.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is that this was one of their statements. They're like, nothing you read about in the news is how it actually happened.
Yeah.
And they already know that. So like I have to do a lot of deep hacking,
yes.
and, you know, for these people. I was at the wealth conference and there's these guys and I'm having breakfast with them. And I had to explain to them how Janet Yellen was responsible for their pain as trustees.
Uh-huh.
And
uh-huh.
they were just like, what?
Connect
like,
those dots again?
And it's not even like three dots. It's like two, guys. We're making a straight line. They chose to make super low rates and that screwed your returns, right?
Right.
Like, they're like, oh, but you know, market set rates. I'm like, No.
People set rates.
No, they choose on the short end. They're like, yeah, but the long end. Like, you heard about Operation Twist, right? Where they sold off the short end of their curve and bought the long end specifically to drive rates down. You know the ECB is buying $130 billion a month, right? You know the Bank of Japan is. You know there's $200 billion a month specifically suppressing the long end of the curve. They're like, what? How do these people not know this? How do trustees of pension funds not know the base forces that are making their job impossible?
It must be in their best interest to do so, psychologically.
Psychologically.
Yes.
Right.
It's too hard. It's too hard to look at it, because if you actually look at that, that basically screws your entire job. Right? So.
Never expect a man to understand something if his job requires him not to.
Exactly.
Said Upton Sinclair, close
yes,
enough.
Yes,
yes. Yeah, so there's a little of that, but mostly it's emotionally challenging.
Yeah.
Because to believe in that is to believe that, well, what does it mean if the Federal Reserve's not on my side? Whose side are they on? Well, obviously the big bank side. That's their clients. That's who they serve.
Right.
So this, it gets me all the way down, like in the United States, I think some other Western countries, we have the most elegant propaganda machine running, which does an exquisite job of hiding stuff in plain sight for people.
Yes.
And for anybody who bothers to sit back and look at this, you go, oh, that's not at all what's happening. The Fed could care less about my inflationary experience.
Right.
They don't really care. Right? But they repeat it, and then never ask them the proper questions. So a lot of what we do at Peak Prosperity is we're asking the right questions.
Yes.
Right?
That's right. Peeling back the covers.
Right? Which, let's back way up. How does infinite growth work?
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, it doesn't. Bad strategy, bad tactic. Mm-hmm. It's running up against its very limits right now. And then these pension guys and gals would back up and go, yeah, but you know, 100 years of returns. How can you argue with 100 years of returns? I'm like, well, I can't, but you know, the last 10 years now, coming on actually 14 when you, if you cherry pick and go back to where it started. But even if we're just doing decades, we discover that world growth has been below the trend that was required, where everything sort of worked for over 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And by sort of worked, I mean we were doubling debts at twice the rate that the economy was growing.
Mm-hmm.
So now that growth is even slower, that's gone way off the rails. We're still accumulating debt at the same rates, but now growth is even slower.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have over 10 years of data.
Yes.
Which means the financial industry is behind the medical industry, which takes 10 years to figure
right,
out
right.
that failed procedures don't work and that there are better ones.
Keep doing them anymore.
Right? So just ultra resistant. And it's not about the data, and it's not about the logic, and it's not about the anything. It's just that.
If only.
Yeah, I know. So really that gets us down to what the Roe seminar is about in many ways. So yes, people gather and we get to talk to each other. That's all awesome. But it's getting into the softer sides of what the implications of all this data really is for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when we write Prosper and we've got things like emotional capital,
yes,
social,
yes,
capital, knowledge and skills,
yes,
time.
Yes.
And by the way, time capital, for me, just to expand that one out a little bit, is really falling back in love with the sacredness of our time here.
Yeah. Each moment.
Each moment. It's not about making awesome checklists so I can get more stuff done every day. The time capital thing is not a masculine, let's be more
goal-oriented. Yeah. It's about what can we do? How can we make the most out of this moment right now?
Right.
Yeah. And so we have that possibility of sinking into the moment with a group of people in that container. And one of the beautiful things about Roe that, you know, I so love is the natural setting that we are in. We're really plucked out of the matrix big time there. I mean, just to warn everybody, there's not a whole lot of Wi-Fi, okay? You can go to like one place and get Wi-Fi. But otherwise, you know, we're cut off from the regular inputs of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, in their place, we have the natural world surrounding us. So again, all of that container really supports, you know, that intention to be really present.
Right. Right. So again, for anybody listening, if you're intrigued at this point, you can find a link to Roe on our website. And it is April 6th to 9th. That's Thursday through Sunday. It's in Roe, Massachusetts. You can sign up at through the website or at
I can't remember their website, but we'll link it.
I'll look it up because it's yeah. either rowcenter.org or rowconferencecenter.org.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's Row Center. Yes. So one of the things that I'm really looking forward to seeing if it gels again this year.
Oh, rowcenter.org.
Thank you for that clarity, Mr. Martinson, can go to rowcenter.org.
I always forget if conference is in there.
I know.
But it is the Row Conference Center, but at the website.
You know this after.
rowcenter.org. Okay.
Yeah, so what I was just about to get into was one of the things that has happened in the past, and I'm just going to say kind of synchronistically, is that sometimes people will come with a density from a particular geographic area. Mm-hmm. Okay, so last year, a number of people came from, I'll just say, the eastern Massachusetts, southern New Hampshire area.
Right.
And they really bonded at the workshop. They got together and they bonded. And they set up times to get together outside of the workshop and have been doing things together. So I always love hearing those stories. And, you know, in the past, we've had people that have like really tried to like bring their friends for that very same thing. So that when you come and you get sort of this transmission of, oh, gosh, you know, what is it like to actually be in community with people where we can talk about what's important mm-hmm. without like, you know, feeling ashamed. You know, if people can come with somebody from their geographic region, it just helps because it's like somebody that you're anchored to when you get back. That's something that I always recommend.
Well, a group came from our neck of the woods and has formed a group that is still in operation. How many years later?
5 years. Okay.
5 years.
I want to talk about this because this is amazing. This is a group that I am a part of that, I think it might even be 6 years ago.
Because it was just before the 2011 earthquake.
Yes.
It was before then.
That's right. Wow, man, time is moving fast. Yep. So there was a density of people from our geographic region, from the Pioneer Valley of Massachusetts.
Was it five? Six?
I think it was like maybe six or seven people from the area. And they set an intention to come back and to get together, you know, back at home. And in the beginning, it was basically a resilience group. It was that core group of people that came to Row, plus significant others that hadn't been at Row, plus maybe a couple of other friends that seemed interested. So it sort of like, you know, sucked in a few other people. For the first probably year, this group was a resilience-based group. We talked about systems and structures and stored food and talked about solar systems and all of that kind of stuff. And it was actually really cool because right after we started that group, maybe a few months after that group, we had a serious hurricane up here. Hurricane Irene came through. And I remember when Hurricane Irene was coming through and everybody was freaking out in the community, like, oh my God, we got to get our food. You know, we could be without power for a couple of weeks. This is going to be a doozy. Everybody in our group was relaxed. I remember seeing them at the store and being like, yeah, I'm good. You know, we've got everything we need, you know? So there was just that like immediate testing mm-hmm. of like what it's like to, you know, prepare in some way for, you know, unexpected outcomes and then just have that benefit immediately. So that was super cool. Mm-hmm. But the deeper, cooler thing that's happened is that this group has come together every other week for 5 years. That's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Every other week for 5 years. That has had some serious staying power. And it's expanded and deepened so far beyond resilience training. So, you know, just on the logistical level, we do work projects with each other. So somebody might say, it's wood stacking time. Everybody come over. We're going to have the potluck at my house and we're going to stack up the 3 cords of wood that just got dropped at mm-hmm. my house. Okay. There was a work project. We've moved everybody. Like people have moved over those 5 years. You know, it's like, oh, call the team together. We're all going to come together and support the move. We've married 3 people. We put on a great wedding. Okay. But in addition, you know, during those 5 years, this is a group made up of human beings, which means that everybody's gone through some hard times during mm-hmm. those 5 years. And there is a way that we have been able to encircle, support, be present with people during divorce, during children with, you know, drug addiction issues, during major breakups, during death of parents. You know, this is just normal life hardship, right? We don't need to wait for the big calamity that we're imagining might happen. Like, life has hardships along the way.
Well, you shouldn't even be waiting for the big calamity, thinking when the big calamity comes together, then we'll learn.
Exactly. Then we'll figure it out.
We'll figure out how to be with each other during tough times. No,
yes.
This is like training wheels.
It
time
is training wheels.
And it's real life. And
that's
this
right.
is probably how life was always supposed to be. And one of the big features of our modern culture, of course, is people reporting being feeling desperately alone.
Disconnected.
And isolated.
Yes.
From each other,
yes.
even when they're in the room with lots of people.
Yes.
From nature, from
yes.
from the sacredness of life, from
that's
from
right.
the rhythms of life. So,
that's right.
you know what? Being human is kind of messy.
It is messy. It is messy.
It's not easy, right?
That's right. And disconnection is the core wound. I believe disconnection is the core wound that is fueling the entire, you know, problems on mm-hmm. the planet right now. So yeah, this was something that happened organically. It came together and it lasted. It's still continuing to this day. And it's gone through all these different morphs. But that came out of Ro. That
right.
came because there was a group of people that came to Ro that said, I'm going to do resilience training. It's like, fantastic. So anyway, it's a teaching story. And so if there are folks listening that might have a few like people in your community that you can talk to about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If they can do it, bring them along. It will be so much better for you upon return to have somebody else to be able to share this stuff with.
Well, right. And then there's this other group that came last year and they've been meeting together a bunch of times. I've actually met that when I gave a talk at Harvard last year.
That's right.
Many of them showed up
that's
and then we
right.
went out for drinks afterwards.
It was
wonderful. So they're busy bonding as well. So that's one model, which is don't come alone. Bring as many people from your community as you can.
Yes.
And if you can achieve a critical mass grouping, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. I want to talk about skinnying that model down just a little bit. You want to know what I think the number one value of the Ro seminars? We have 10 years of experience now, so I think
yeah.
we can say this. Saving relationships.
Okay. Yes, that's true. That
it's,
is
has
very
a very
true.
High value.
It really does have a high value
because,
and it has worked
because
many times.
Let's be clear, breaking up is expensive
yes.
and destructive.
And painful.
Painful
yes.
and all of that. So we've had, I can't even tell you how many experiences, and you might be, some of you listening might be thinking, oh yeah, right. You know, this is like the guy is going all crazy on the prep side and the woman's like freaking out about that. You'd be surprised how often it's been split.
Yes, absolutely.
Fitty-fitty, where sometimes it's the man presenting saying, we have to prepare for this crazy world and I'm afraid, and the wife is holding the husband back or the partner, and then flip it, where the woman's holding that point of view and the man's
mm-hmm.
like, I'm not down. I'm totally not down on this whole
yeah.
thing, right? So it goes both ways. So
yes.
this is not a gender statement in any way, shape, or form, but it's been true. And what we do, it really is magic. It's not a case of getting the reluctant partner to see the point of view of the partner who shares our view that the world
yes.
needs to be prepared for and all
yes.
that. It's that we bring both of them to each other's position.
Yes.
So here's a concrete example. We've heard this one several times. So this is actually a theme now where one of the partner that's sort of seeing the threat in all of this goes, we need to be safer.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like where we live. I've analyzed it and it's just not safe here.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't where I would choose to ride this out. We
mm-hmm.
got to go somewhere else.
Right.
Idaho or just somewhere else, right?
Yes.
And the other partner is like, no, you know, this is my life.
Yes.
You know, the kids are all inserted
yes.
here. Or, you know, I have all these deep friendships. This is where my work is. There's some articulation of that and they're not seeing each other directly. So with Prosper, we talk about the eight forms of capital. And once you can open up and understand that social capital
yeah.
is a form of capital.
Valuable.
And you can't, by the way, buy it
uh-uh.
or accelerate it.
That's
so you
right.
have to think carefully
mm-hmm.
before you would toss in the dumpster 10 or 20 years of social capital
that's
building.
That's right. That's right.
In favor of some material or physical safety that
yes.
might exist with a more remote location. So we're going to get both parties to see each other's side. And as well, for the person who's hunkering down, who didn't want to look at any of this stuff,
yeah.
we have a really calm, gentle way of saying, yeah, this isn't irrational. This
yeah.
is totally rational. Your partner may be presenting in a highly excitable sort of a way, but once we strip that away and calm that down, here's what they're reacting to.
Mm-hmm.
So now both parties can see each other's positions. This mm-hmm. has happened numerous times for us.
Yep. Yep.
So if you're listening to this and your partner isn't exactly on board, worse, they're hostile to any of this, I kid you not, the best marriage or relationship counseling weekend you could go to will be this one. I'm just going to say that flat out because it's true. You have all the data.
Oh, I'm remembering back to when we were doing a seminar. This is pre-Row. We were doing a seminar in Denver.
Right.
This is a long time ago.
That was 2009. I remember that.
Yeah, we were doing a seminar in Denver. And we weren't even getting into the reluctant partner stuff at all. We weren't really talking about it.
I don't think we had that framing then.
I don't think so either. But I remember, there was a woman that cornered me in the bathroom when I went into the bathroom and she said, I am learning so much about relationships just watching you two give this seminar than I did at the relationship workshop I was at last weekend. I'm like, well, that's very nice. That's not in our intention, but I'm glad you're getting that. That's uh-huh. wonderful. Uh-huh. But yeah, when we bring, I'm just going to say total acceptance mm-hmm. to both parties, mm-hmm. right? So this is not about convincing or making the person who doesn't perceive the way we perceive at Peak Prosperity wrong, bad. Like, this is not about making them bad.
Or convincing them.
Or convincing them. It's saying, yes, I see how you feel that way. There you are, you know? And there's just to honor the perspective of everybody in the room, like deeply honor the perspective of everybody in the room, while having the, I'm going to say the normalcy of the perspective that we're talking about, which is, I'll say, the discerning adult future perspective, like looking carefully at the future and making some really good decisions based mm-hmm. on what we see coming. To be in the soup of a whole bunch of people for whom this is not like a freak out show. This is like, yeah, we're just all grown-ups here talking about this together. Mm-hmm. That is really transformative for the, I'm just going to call them reluctant partners who, again, outside in the mainstream culture, their position is highly reinforced, right? The position of, don't worry about it. There's nothing to look at here. Everything's going to be fine. Like, that kind of position is really reinforced by the dominant culture big time. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of a flip that happens. We create our own little culture inside Row, and they get a little transmission, a little taste of what it's like. Again, not to be around people that are in panic, in fear, freaking out. We are very grounded and calm and stable when we talk about this because we've been doing it for a long time.
Yeah. Well, you know, so if you have a reluctant partner, as we call it, or if you have family members or coworkers or colleagues, we will be talking about how you go about talking about these sorts of things. Mm-hmm. There is a way. There's a method to the madness. And so I think we're going to spend a little more time on that this year. Part of the reason we went to a Thursday to Sunday, it used to be Friday to Sunday, is we needed the extra day for you all to meet each other in a more luxurious way so that we didn't have a schedule that was crammed to every 15-minute block with something.
That is our way.
Yeah.
We have a lot of material to share. We want to give it all to you. Unfortunately, we can't.
I know. We could spend a whole week on it. But we're going to be spending more time on that exact dynamic, which there's two big themes that come up every year. One is that, which is, how do I talk about this stuff,
mm-hmm.
right?
And yes.
So, hey, we've got some great ideas, and it's literally a function of what you say, how you say it, when you say it. Got some ideas around that seem to work well for us. And the second is that sense of leading two lives.
Yeah.
The life I'm leading and this other one that I actually feel like I should be leading. Come on, because let's be clear about this. Mm-hmm. Most jobs and most things that we busyness that we've created for ourselves in this modern culture is bullshit. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of bullshit jobs out there where this was, okay, I left my job at Pfizer, which was very important. I'm working in management and corporate
finance
and all that stuff. But I had my epiphany. I was like, wow, a whole ship full of Chris Martinsons from Pfizer could sink in the North Atlantic and nothing would happen, right? That company would be fine, right?
So you're speaking to the meaning.
There's
no meaning in that job, especially for you personally, let alone larger meaning.
Right. But there is a lot of meaninglessness in the lives we've created for ourselves.
Yes.
It's filling its, you know, look at the closest thing I think we have to a major ritual in this country where everybody sort of gets together, they set things aside, and they sit down and they have probably, you know, a lot of preparation goes into this, pre-planning, like really, it's the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
right? Yeah. Think about the meaninglessness of that, though, because what happens whether this team wins or that team wins?
Right.
Nothing.
Yes.
Nothing at all happens. Right. The bumblebees are still disappearing. The tuna right. are still disappearing.
Yes.
You know, we still haven't sort of found a way to renew our sacredness and appreciation of each other and
yes.
for life. Like, nothing really happens.
We're not more connected.
Not more connected, not more alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe
mm-hmm.
the next day more hungover, but
yes.
however that works out for people, right? So this seminar is really the antidote to that. It's on the one hand, people encounter this material and they're like, oh, this is dark and this is scary. It's true. We're asking people not to engage with information. We're asking people to engage with an emotional journey.
Mm-hmm.
That's what this is. Emotions get dinged.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yep. It's stimulating.
Right.
No
it's
doubt.
Stimulating.
Yep.
And what comes out of that, though?
What comes out of our emotions being stimulated?
Eventually, for me.
Yes.
I love my life right now.
Yes.
I actually have a really awesome life right now.
Yes.
I get to live the life I was meant to live. My gifts authentically come into my work.
Yes.
I had to take some risks and create this job for myself. There wasn't exactly a Peak Prosperity University where like, here's how you tell people stuff they don't want to hear and make money. You know, nobody
it started with a blog.
You know, but I was following my passion. I had the luxury of being able to do that, and you
yes.
weren't fighting and me and being resistant, and right. I had lots of support, and I had the we had been savers, so we had the financial means to do that. Not
yes.
everybody has that luxury. And still, though, everybody has the opportunity to begin to bring meaning back into
yes.
their lives. And that's when we go into this leading to lives part. A lot of people treat it binary.
Yes.
As soon as I quit this meaningless job
yes.
and I start that one, that's when the meaning starts.
Yes.
And we say, no,
yep.
it starts right now.
That's right.
In the context of your current job, and maybe as you migrate, you'll get more of it.
That's
but
right.
there's no waiting.
That's right. You choose.
The
you choose meaning now.
Is now.
That's right.
So that's why I'm so excited to give the seminar this year in particular, because the time is now.
Yes, because we need people living in their gifts. We
right now.
Need desperately. The planet needs.
I need people living in their gifts.
Yes.
I need allies. You need
yes.
allies. We need to find each other.
That's right.
We need to develop a plan for how we're all going to get together. So a lot of the seminar for me is not about bringing people and scattering them back to the winds.
Mm-hmm.
And some of that will happen, but I'm here to meet people.
Yeah.
I'm here to make and form relationships
yeah.
with the people who are on my team.
That's right.
Our
That's
team,
right.
our tribe, our expanding tribe.
Yes.
Because let's be clear, we can't keep on with the status quo.
That's
it's killing
right.
us. It's killing the planet. It's just, so yeah,
so,
let's get on with it.
You know what, I was just remembering back to some of the early seminars. When you would sit in a room, we would sit in a room and there would be like literally 8 hours of slides.
Mm-hmm.
And our entire goal for that, to go and give all the slides, was to meet two people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, let's just throw out all this information and see where it sticks. And let's find two people out of this room of, I don't know, 50 that have come to hear this 8 hours worth of slides. God only knows why, but somehow they did.
Mm-hmm.
And to find those two people that resonated. Like, that was the original goal of doing the seminars.
Sure.
And so in many ways, like, that original goal still holds
yep.
for our seminars now. It's just that they're a lot better and more
right.
fun.
All right, so we will be going through all 8 forms of capital, I expect, it to varying levels of depth, and we still have to make, I don't have an agenda out because we don't know yet how it's all gonna present. We will be prepared to do anything. We have a lot of material. So let me skinny it all the way down to you, the individual. You're thinking of coming alone. Last year, we had somebody come in from Scotland. Somebody come in for the second time from Yellowknife,
Canada,
which uh-huh. took five separate plane trips. I think the first one had like pontoons on it.
Yep.
Right? Somebody came in from Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
So people do come from all over. They come to this really rustic sort of place without a lot of cell phone reception, or really, that's being generous. There's
Any
none.
Cell phone reception.
There is Wi-Fi in one of the buildings, but there's no, you will
Just be prepared.
This is the rustic chic thing that rich people pay a lot for right now. And we're charging a lot less than that. So this is you
it's
get the
good.
Whole experience.
It lets you realize just where your internet addiction actually is.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Just so you know.
Just so you know. In case there was any question about
yep.
that. Mine's pretty high, so I'll be honest there. So
so
that's why individuals come too, is of course, this. We're not saying this is only for couples and groups and all of that. Lots of individuals show up as well.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty welcoming for all different types and stripes of people. And again, a lot of what actually happens will be defined by who shows up, and we're ready for anything. So we can put on a show in a lot of directions. But
yeah. We always have way, way more material than time.
Always.
And, you know, I feel really committed to leaving, you know, a lot of space for the magic to happen, you mm-hmm. know, for the, you just never know who's going to show up and just the particular coming together of the people. Like, we need to leave a lot of room for that magic to just unfold and show us what's coming, what's available.
Absolutely. Remember last year during one of the break times where there was a few hours off, one of our members who had showed up, Stephen Strong, runs an internationally acclaimed solar design.
Yes.
I mean, they do these biggest of the big projects. Like,
yes.
You know, the Dubai airport wants to become solarized.
Yes.
His firm is often involved
yes.
in that.
They
kind
did
of
the
stuff.
White House. Yes.
Yes. So he got to present, and it was just really cool. He just sort of stood up. He had his laptop with him. He's like, oh, let me show you these cool projects I've been doing
yes.
around the world. That's an example of the sort of caliber of people who are showing up at
yes.
these things. Right. There's a lot of very amazing people doing amazing things.
Yeah. And spontaneous things that can just happen that we'll make space for.
Absolutely. We have young people showing up, people who are just starting out in life. We have people mm-hmm. at the end of their life. It's all. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. If you're saying who's going to be there, I'm going to say everybody sort of. Well, here's the only defining characteristic. Everybody there is curious and actually open-minded. And able to pull in that information. But what they look like is, again, it's all over the map,
mm-hmm.
right? We've mm-hmm. had NFL stars show up.
That's right.
Remember Anthony? He was kind yeah. of a big boy, huh?
Yeah, he provided an awesome perspective, yeah.
yeah.
It's just really different.
Yeah, from a scale standpoint. His upper bicep was the same size as your waist, I think.
I know.
It was roughly. It was amazing. So, yeah, all sorts of people show up. And so there's... I just want to throw that out there because some people listening to this now might be thinking, oh, they have an image in their head of the kind of person who
yeah.
might show up. You can't.
No
it doesn't,
image.
It actually doesn't work out
yeah.
that way.
Yeah.
And it's evenly split, male, female, every
yep.
year, right
yep.
down the center mass. And so, yeah, it's an actually diverse audience in many, many ways, as far as I can tell, geographically, with respect to income, with respect to age, gender, all of that. So, yeah.
Yeah, sort of. Not really racially, but yeah.
No, but...
Lots of ways to
whoever,
spread across
whoever
the
wants to show up can show up. I'm just
yes.
telling you, it's not just a bunch of boomer whiteys, guys. All right? It's more than that. It's that and...
It's that and.
And other things, too.
Don't worry, honey. It's okay. We love you as a boomer. It's good. All right.
Well,
that feels good. Anything else you want to say about this?
That's it. April 6th to 9th,
yep.
we're having our annual Peak Prosperity Seminar. It's at Row, and that's at rowcenter.org. Check the link below this, but if you're listening to this on say, YouTube or iTunes, rowcenter.org, and you're looking for the Martinson Retreat there, a Peak Prosperity, you'll find it. Use either of those two terms and or come to peakprosperity.com and we'll have a link to it there as well. Love to see you there.
Yeah,
it's going
to
be great.
To
and again, you know, we don't know how long we're going to be doing these in the future.
That's
we just
right.
don't know, but I do know we're doing one this year.
That's right.
So if you're thinking of coming,
now's
you come.
The time.
This is it. No time like now. All right. Well, with that, Chris Martinson here closing out. Becca.
All right. Good to talk to you all.
All right. Bye.